I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, speaking with Texas Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess, author of the new book, Doctor in the House. And Congressman, you tell the story in the book of how when you began your practice in the early 1980s, you saw about 15 patients a day. But by the end of your practice, by the time you got elected to Congress, it was up to about 35 a day. It was very stressful on your staff, on you, on your patients, the paperwork involved, the bureaucracy, working harder for less in return. You have a chapter in your book called Seven Things Your Doctor Wishes You Knew. We don't have time, unfortunately, to go through all of them, but the general thrust here is that you basically want people to know what it costs and what the government involvement is in making healthcare decisions.
Correct. The bottom line for all of this is that we have to remember we talk about healthcare in sort of these hypothetical terms, but really what it amounts to is a doctor and the patient sitting in the treatment room, patient coming in with a complaint, doctor taking a history, doing a physical, coming up with a diagnosis, recommending a treatment plan. That fundamental unit of interaction in the treatment room, operating room, emergency room, wherever. But that's what comprises American medicine. And if we forget that, and if we make it harder for those two individuals to get together in the treatment room, come in with a complaint, to get a diagnosis and diagnosis rendered and treatment prescribed, if we make it harder, we're only going to make the system inherently more flawed and by design more expensive. So what could we do if there was one thing that was out there that could kind of hold down the cost and maintain access? In my opinion, something magic happens when people spend their own money. And it turns out that healthcare is just like any other good or service that's sold in the marketplace. It responds to market principles. It responds to market forces. And we have so anesthetized healthcare to market forces because of the government intervention that's occurred in the past 40 or 50 years that it's no wonder that the system bears very little resemblance to what it was in my father's day and my grandfather's day. You think about how we do healthcare expenditures. There are some things that can be managed out of cash flow. They're so simple, aspirin, Band-Aids, that you would never think about going to an insurance company or your government for that. There are other things that people could legitimately save for if they were given the right incentives. And orthodontists figured this out a long time ago, that people can withstand a $2,000 charge for braces for the kids' teeth if it's broken up into little pieces, and that's what they do quite effectively. So if there were a savings plan that were available to people, that money could be put away for healthcare expenditures, if you incent it in the tax code, people likely will do that. And then, of course, there are the big bad things that happen, the never should occur things that for which catastrophic healthcare insurance is, in fact, not just required, but I would maintain it's a necessity. So looking at it from those perspectives, you look at something like a health savings account, which, yeah, you're going to manage some healthcare expenditures by yourself. There's some for which you are going to save, and there's that catch-all policy if the very dreadful diagnosis comes your way. That's a much more sensible way to arrange things. The other way that we've come to is that the government's going to take care of it. Even the aspirin and the Band-Aids, the government is going to take care of. But at the same time, we're going to tax almost everything involved with it, so even leeches and maggots are going to be taxed under the new Obamacare.
Another point that you make here, Congressman, both in your seven things your doctor wishes you knew and your nine-point plan for really saving the health care system, is the issue of medical liability. It's been brought up a number of times. It's been debated. It has seemingly turned into kind of a partisan debate. Republicans obviously want it. Democrats don't seem to want it. But how critical is it to address it, and what's the best way to address it?
Well, I like what we did in Texas with caps on non-economic damages. I think the last 7-8 years have really shown some dramatic improvements, not just in the cost of medical liability insurance, the availability of medical liability insurance, but also the availability of OB-GYNs, emergency room doctors. In counties that hadn't had one for years, they're now seeing doctors attracted to those communities. So that's a big win. And I tried to get a similar sort of language into the health care bill when the House debated its bill, but I was blocked by the Democrats at every turn. And, you know, the president really missed an opportunity here. When he went to the AMA in June of 2009, the three things the AMA really needed to hear from the president: you're going to help us with this goofy Medicare payment formula that dings physicians every year, you're going to fix the medical liability system so that people don't live under that conundrum, and maybe let us negotiate with insurance companies and remove some of the antitrust exemptions. But none of those things. You know, we got a blank sheet of paper on all of those things, and the AMA still went ahead and endorsed the bill. That's what just drove me crazy. Not even a down payment on fixing the flawed Medicare payment formula. Not even a wink at a medical liability improvement. We're going to ask our doctors to be our partners in this brave new world of Obamacare going forward. The least we could do is give them a little bit of certainty in their practice lives. And quite frankly, defensive medicine is one of the big cost drivers that's out there. It's learned behavior. It will take a while to unlearn the behavior of defensive medicine, but doctors are willing to listen if you just give them some certainty in their environment.
Last question before we let you go, sir. You've been very generous with your time, and the point you make with your concern over the medical liability as well as the reimbursement for Medicare, and certainly Medicaid's a major issue on that front as well, goes to the very last point you make about reforming the system, and that's simply that we need more doctors, especially when we're looking at a change in the healthcare system where the number of people that will be needing doctors will be growing exponentially. Talk about the crisis we might be heading for there.
Well, I think you've just articulated it very well. We've got a demographic problem, and obviously we have payment problems. And one of the things that the Obamacare does that it really is, I don't want to be careful how I say this, because this is not to say that the nurse practitioners and physician's assistants aren't important in the overall system. Of course they are. But if you hand off greater and greater amounts of authority, prescriptive authority, diagnostic authority to non-physicians because they're easier to control than doctors, ultimately you're going to end up with a system that is less good for the patient. And you do see a lot of that activity kind of hidden within the trenches in the Obamacare law, but it is in there. So the scope of practice issues are real, and of course people will demand access. You have 30 million people who are going to have health insurance who didn't have it before. Most of them have it through Medicaid. It's already tough to find a practitioner who takes Medicaid. These are going to continue to be big problems for people. It's one thing to have coverage. It's another thing to have care. And that's, I'm afraid, what a lot of the hard lesson that a lot of people are going to figure out.
Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg. Anytime.
We appreciate your time very much. Texas Republican Congressman and Dr. Michael Burgess, he's the author of Doctor in the House, a physician-turned-congressman, offers his prescription for scrapping Obamacare and saving America's medical system. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.